Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How am I doing?
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Okay, good. Great to be with you folks tonight. You had a wonderful dedication here, and we were totally preoccupied with the burial and estate of my mother-in-law, Sister Jantz. We would have wanted to be here for you. I had a privilege of being here preaching before you dedicated, so that was a wonderful honor. You may be seated. The thing I like about coming to Apostolic Faith is that I can have some fun here, and especially when the pastor and his wife are suffering in Mexico. And when he said he was going to Mexico, I was wondering if he was trying to punish me for coming here, but it's always a privilege to be with you fine folks. Thank you, Brother Bear. You've come and ministered in our church. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Brother Poplowski, you have come and ministered, and we surely enjoy that. Let's do something before I get into the Word tonight. Let's have a little fun here. Are you allowed to have fun in the evening service, or is that just reserved for the morning service? I like to have fun. I know that you can have fun in the kingdom of God, and I love to share a few things. Here are 10 things God never says. How's that? Amen. 10 things God never says. Number one, oops. Number two, what have I done? Number three, functional noises, right? Number three. How did I let that happen? Number four. I made a mistake. Number five. It was an accident. Number six. I don't know what to do. Seven. I'm afraid of what will happen now. Number eight, I can do better than this. Number nine, what do you think I should do? Number 10, why didn't I think of that? Don't worry, God will never say those things. Amen. We say them all the time, but he never will. Amen. Praise God. Good to be here to serve the Lord. So I was thankful for great tabernacle of truth here. It's called Apostolic Faith Church. It should be called Temple of Faith. It's a beautiful, beautiful building and filled with beautiful people. You have two of the finest people for a pastor and wife, and Brother Schumacher. You really do. Thank you, Lord. They are the finest, one of the finest couples we have in Pentecost, and I greatly value their friendship. And I'm thankful that he trusts me in this pulpit. I don't know who in charge here tonight. Who's in charge here tonight? Jesus. Praise God. Anyone want to be in charge tonight? This would be your big chance. No, he trusts me with you. He must believe that we won't do too much damage while he's gone. So. I'd like to preach tonight on this simple subject, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. And I need you to help me pray right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to be in this sacred desk. And thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We need your anointing upon the Word. I surely need your anointing upon my life tonight. And Lord, we also need the anointing upon every heart in this congregation. We praise you, Lord, and thank you for your Word. Thank you for your presence. We'll give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. There's another sound of those functional sounds. As soon as I stop praying, it stops. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. Ephesians 1:18 says, may he enlighten the eyes of your mind. I like that phrase, eyes of your mind. That kind of picturesque. Eyes of your mind. so that you can see what hope his call holds for you, what rich glories he has promised the saints will inherit. There are times tonight when we look, and then there are other times when we see. I experience this when I go to the grocery store, and my wife sends me a list of items, and I look for them. I really do. I look for them, and I look where she told me to look for them. And I go up and down the aisle, and I want to be sure that I have not missed them. And yet, I cannot find them. Then I ask for the manager to come out. And the manager said, "I'm sorry, sir, we've never heard of that product before." And then someone comes down the aisle, one of the helpers there, and they go right to it, and they say, "Oh, here it is, right here." That has happened to me too many times. So I know what it's like to look and not see. Serendipity is a beautiful study. It's the discovery of the obvious. And sometimes the obvious is not so obvious at all. My dad gets a magazine called Country Magazine, and in that magazine, every edition, you have to find the needle in the haystack. You ever done that? How many are? And you look, and you look, and you look. And you go through it, and back and forth, and you look upside down, check. And when you finally find it, you say, it was obvious, but you did not see it in the beginning. I want to do more than just looking tonight. I really want to see. Amen. There are times when we observe, and then there are times when we memorize. There are some times when we notice things, and other times when we study. What is it like to see Jesus? I know I want to see him. Amen. I've preached about him for a long time, lived for him for quite a while. I've received many blessings and healings and miracles and answers and direction. God has done so much. I would like to see him.
That's right.
Peter says, having not seen him, we love him. Yep. And rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There are choruses. Now, these are old-fashioned. I'm old school, and these are old choruses. You may not remember. You may not know. Some may not know. The millennial generation may not even know these. It's called What a Day That Will Be. These are songs that have a message. They are songs that use the name of Jesus. These are songs that lift up the power of the blood. And I don't mind modern songs, but these songs are songs with a message. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look into his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Now I'd like to sing a modern version. What a day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be. What a day that will be. What a day that will be. What a day, what a day that will be. What a day, oh, what a day that will be. What a day, oh, what a day, what a day, and what a day that will be. And you're reaching for more. And I'm glad, just glad for something. I'm not making fun of that. A lot of beautiful choruses today. I'm thankful for them. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past. Home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see him. Amen. I want to see Jesus.
Amen.
And we are all looking forward to that day when we see him. Praise God. Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Looking unto Jesus. What does it mean to be like Jesus? The world has never known a person like him. I like Christianity because ours is the only one that starts with a baby.
Amen.
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 Ours is the only one that ends with a funeral and continues with a resurrection.
Amen.
I like Christianity from the womb to the tomb and everything in between.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I like a God who can tell me what's coming up in the future in prophecy. No other writing has prophecy. Only Jesus Christ knows the end from the beginning.
Amen.
Only he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and everything in between. Praise God.
Amen.
We have never seen a heart so pure. We have never seen character so flawless. I think there may be a missing ingredient in the world called character, and work ethic, and honesty, and decency, and wholesomeness. But we find all of that in Jesus Christ and more. His spiritual hearing was so keen that he never missed a heavenly whisper. He did not miss one word that he was required to say. His mercy was so abundant that he never missed a chance to forgive. Not one time, including me and including you.
Amen.
He was there the night I knelt down as a sophomore in electrical engineering. 20. I can still remember 20. It's been a while, but I remember the night when I came squalling and bawling like a baby to an altar, and I repented. And when I asked for forgiveness, I remember the feeling I had in my heart when the Lord forgave me of my sins. No lie ever left his lips. No distraction ever blurred his vision. There was no one who distracted him from what he came to do.
Amen.
There was no one who took his life before he was ready to lay it down. There was no one who blocked what he was trying to do and ran interference or asked him questions that he could not answer.
Amen.
There was no one who could outmaneuver him.
Amen.
And out-scheme him.
Amen.
And be more clever than him.
Amen.
And work around him and sidestep. He was in control.
Amen.
And he fulfilled his mission. There is no one like him ever in the world. There is no prophet of any religion like Jesus Christ. There is no other person that died for my sins and rose the third day victorious over hell, death, and the grave. There is no one who had the unmatched ministry of Jesus Christ. No one has performed the miracles that he has and done the good that he's done and taught the way he taught.
Amen.
Praise God. Jesus is the ultimate model for every person. We've got earthly disasters. My dad and I were talking the other day. We're not going to catch up, are we? We haven't even taken care of a Katrina yet. When I did a little evangelizing, guest speaking, I slept in some of those houses that were underwater in Katrina. Slept down in those quarters. Those aren't even being touched. We haven't caught up with Katrina, yet we have disasters all over the world. National wars, political upheavals, violence and confusion and corruption. And Jesus said, listen, why don't you just look at me? Look into my face. Be of good cheer.
Amen.
Cheer up.
Amen.
I know you read the news. Cheer up.
Amen.
I know you know how bad it is. Cheer up.
Amen.
I know it's bad at work. I know it's bad everywhere. The economy is bad. The world is falling apart. The earth is rocking and reeling with natural disasters. And there's political upheavals and rioting and coups around the world. But cheer up.
Amen.
For I have overcome the world.
Take
that with you tomorrow when you go to work. I know things are bad, and if you dwell on it long enough, you'll get ugly. You'll get all rattled and shaken, and you'll get irritable and cranky and impatient and frustrated and bitter and angry. God says, just cheer up, cheer up, cheer up, for I have overcome the world.
Amen.
We've been showing a series called End Time Prophecy by Irvin Baxter in our church, the 14 DVDs on understanding end time prophecy. And we're just getting started, but the one thing that I notice is that it's getting us ready because this is the end time. I have never been a prophecy buff. That's my admission to you, because I heard speculation. I've heard pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, premillennial, post-millennial, anti-millennial. I've heard everything under the sun, every view you can hear. And after a while, I said, I just don't know what to believe. But there are men who are studying this and receiving revelation and putting it together in such a way that it can be a real blessing. But one thing I get from this is that we don't have forever. Amen. For those who are waiting for the economy to recover, don't hold your breath. When you're waiting for everything to go back to normal, whatever normal might be, don't wait too long. Because prophecy says we're in the end time, and Jesus could come in the end time. The situation, the players have taken their stages, the nations are in position. We are postured now for the second coming of the Lord. And one thing we ought to do is get ready. Get ready. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Get ready. And the second thing we need to do is work while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. We don't have forever to reach our cities. We don't have forever to reach our world. Don't have forever to reach your colleagues at work and your classmates at school. We just don't have forever. Work while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. I want to see Jesus. The shepherds did. The night of Jesus' birth, the shepherds wanted to see him. Seeing angels was not enough. That would have been glorious in itself. And to hear the angelic heavenly voices. Now, some say they were singing, but angels don't sing. And there wasn't a choir. But there was a heavenly voice, and they cried in unison. It would have been spectacular. The still night erupted with a flash of light of heaven itself. To see such splendor, it would have been enough in itself, but it was not enough for them. They said, let's go and let's see this thing which is delivered unto us, which the Lord has made known unto us. These things were not enough. They wanted to see Jesus Christ. Amen. I am convinced that the longer we live, the more attractive Jesus Christ is going to become. Amen. And the less attractive this world is going to be. Amen. And the less comfortable we're going to be in this earth. And heaven is going to look very good in the end. And one day we will cry, even so, Lord, come quickly. Simeon did. He was a good man. He served in the temple at the time of Jesus' birth. He was there, and the angel of the Lord, Simeon, had been told by the Holy Spirit himself that he would not see death before he saw the promised Christ. For Simeon, seeing Jesus was enough. When he saw him, he cried out, now it is time to release me, Lord, for my own eyes have seen your salvation. He wanted to see. Some want to see the world before they die. But Simeon said, I want to see the one who made the world before I die. Some are worshiping the creature and the creation. But I am falling in love with, I am loving, I want the creator of all heaven and earth. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Magi did. The star was spectacular. It surely was. The star was historical. And it stopped over Bethlehem. That was miraculous. That was divine. But they were not content with the light over Bethlehem. They wanted to see the light of Bethlehem. Amen. All of these succeeded. Notice, everyone that looked for Jesus and wanted to see him found him. There were a lot of people who didn't look for him and never found him. There are people tonight in this world will never know the rapture took place. They will never know there was a church here. They may never know that there was a Christ that died for them on Calvary. Jesus will have come and gone, but every person in the Word of God that looked for him found him. I remember when I was just a young student, I was looking for Jesus. I had enough of religion. I had enough of catechism. I had enough of hypocrisy. I had enough of drunken choir directors. I had enough of phony ministers. I had enough of church. I had enough of people. I was tired of all that. And then I said, I am looking for something real. I am looking for my Creator. I know He exists. Where can I find Him? I want to see Him. Then I learned that Jesus really wants to be seen.
Amen.
He wants us to find him.
Yes.
He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants to reveal himself to you. I remember the afternoon I knelt by my little cot in a little single room at the University YMCA, 306 North Brook Street in Madison. I don't even know if it's there anymore. That campus had grown from 35,000 then to way over. I don't know what it would be today. But I remember praying on a Madison campus, of all places, Mad City, USA. And I prayed, I said, Lord, I want to know who you are. I want to see it for myself. I had Bible verses given to me. I had Bible charts with drawings and all kinds of explanations of the God in Christ and God in a body. And I had all those explanations. I said, Lord, I want to see it for myself. And I remember the afternoon the Lord revealed himself to me. And it was so obvious after that that I was never, ever the same again. Once you know him, once you know him, you are spoiled for life. You'll never settle for religion again. You'll never believe a lie again. You'll never believe man's theology and logistics again. Once you know him, you have known the greatest knowledge in all of the world. And the greatest thing is to do the will of God in your life. John 29 and 13, and ye shall seek me. Jeremiah 29 and 13 said, ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart.
Amen.
When you get serious, so does God.
Amen.
When you're sincere, he will reveal. I told our church, if you're really sincere, God will reveal truth to you. If you're not sincere, if you're dishonest and you're trying to hide something, you have some hidden agenda, secret motive, he will never reveal. You'll never know who he is. But if you're sincere, if you really want to know the truth, if you really want to know Jesus Christ tonight, he will arrange a rendezvous with you. I mean, you may be an Ethiopian eunuch out in the desert of Gaza in a chariot, but he'll send an evangelist out there to help you read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah and find out who you're reading about. If you're hungry, he'll arrange for someone to cross your path. Praise God. Praise God. I will be found, he said. You'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart. How badly do you really want to see Jesus? How attractive is this world? How deeply entrenched? Have you got a white-knuckle grip on the things that you own and possess? I learned this a long time ago. The more you own, the more you're owned. The more you possess, the more you are possessed. I got a white-knuckle grip, man, like you're going to take it with you. Like, boy, I can't lose this. Man, I got to have this. You've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse yet. You're not taking it with you. You're not going to do it. Job said, naked came I into the world. My mother's woman, naked shall I return hither. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise. Serve him with the blessings and serve him without the blessings. And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you love him, nothing else matters. How much do you want the Holy Ghost? My wife came in the room the other day. She had found this, made a little discovery. She said, I got to share this with you. And it's always neat when she's got things to share with because it's pretty good stuff, you know. I don't do all my own studies. She helps me a little bit. So she said, do you know the word filled, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost? She said, that means controlled. But it's not just control. The mental picture here is the wind in a full sail. Wind in a full sail. And so when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you are a sail that is filled and driven by the very breath of God. And on the day of Pentecost, suddenly there came a sound as of a mighty rushing, check it out, pneuma, breath of God, and it filled all the house where they're sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. So when you're filled, you are driven and directed by the breath of God.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine.
I don't want air tonight. If I'm going to be sailing tonight, I want the breeze of the Holy Ghost filling me and directing me and blowing me along, guiding me through life tonight. God rewards those who truly want to find him. If you really want an answer tonight, the Lord will provide. When I came to the Lord, I don't know if I've told this story, when I came to the Lord, I wanted to serve the Lord. I was a cigarette smoker. In fact, I was a 3-pack-a-day cigarette smoker. I hadn't smoked long, but I smoked heavily, and I was addicted. When I came to the Lord, I said, I can't serve you this way. I cannot serve you. This is an unclean habit. The evangelist got a scripture for me. He gave me the smoker scripture. He said, I got a scripture for you. And it's 2 Corinthians 7:1. And his name is, you may know him, Robert Gilstrap. He was the evangelist in Madison when I came into the church. And he got this out and he said, why don't you read this to me? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And I said, I need help. So Brother Jans and Brother Gilstrap kneeled down in a little office there on Siegel Road, Calvary Gospel Church in West Madison, and they prayed that the Lord would deliver me. And I woke up the next day, I've never had a desire for a cigarette since. God is a deliverer. He will break every chain, right? Break every chain. Break every chain. When I sing that song, I can think of a moment like that, breaking the chain. He breaks the chain of a chain smoker. Praise God. Aren't you glad he's here to help us tonight? Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Anyone here remember Brother Alan Oggs preaching at the Shawnee camp? Yes. Raise your hand. Do you remember that night he preached that? Yes. And he was sweating, and he put a big hanky around his head in the altar call. I have never forgotten he preached on this. It's the 1, 2, 3 of coming to God. You have got to have the want to. You've got to have the want to. And I remember that. I never forget Brother Alan Oggs. He ministered. He was unique, wonderful. And he preached on that. What a beautiful job he did. Praise God. John and Andrew saw Jesus. And when they saw him, they left John the Baptist. Jesus attracted them. And they wanted to do more than just have him bless them or say a few words of wisdom or teach a little parable or study. They said, by the way, where do you live? Right. They wanted to go home with Jesus. Right. And they asked him where he lived. They wanted to hang out with him. They wanted to do more than just listen to him and see him leave. They wanted to hear more and see more and find out about him and learn about him and who he was and what he was about and what he could share with them. They wanted to know him. And I liked Jesus' answer. Well, come and see. And if you really want Jesus Christ, you ought to go home with him and hang out with him tonight. You'll find he'll just say, come on. Come and see where I dwell. Come on. Hang out with me. Let's hang out together for a while. And so John and Andrew spent some prime time with Jesus Christ. Matthew, a tax collector. Jesus came by one day in the middle of his business. He was converted on the job. He was busy ripping people off that day. He's good at what he... notice this. Jesus always... He only called people who were good at what they were doing. Whatever they were good at it. But they were doing something. They weren't sitting around begging. They weren't on welfare, but they were out there busy, even if it was ripping people off. They were busy ripping. And on the job, Jesus said, follow me.
Right.
Now, I don't know how he said that. Just two words, follow me. And Matthew dropped everything and said, hey, why don't you come home with me today?
Right.
Invited Jesus home. Now, I wish I could do that with people. Bible studies say, follow me. Follow me. And they'd come into the church and repent, baptize in Jesus' name, fill the Holy Ghost, be a model saint, be a soul winner. Not cause any trouble. Live for God. I don't know how Jesus said that, but he got Matthew's attention. And Matthew said, why don't you come home with me? Why don't you do that tonight? We could do that tonight. Why don't you take home Jesus home with you? I'm gonna take him back to Sussex with me and over to Matara Instruments tomorrow. Zacchaeus was short. He couldn't see above the crowd. He couldn't see through the crowd. Yet, he wanted to see Jesus.
Right.
My question is, how badly do you want to see him? He found a sycamore tree. He said, here, I may tear my robes a little bit and get messy here and dirty, but I'm going to climb up and see if I can see Jesus Christ. And he got up in the sycamore tree, and he went out on a limb. Sometimes you got to go out on a limb.
Right.
Take a chance.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
When I came in the church, I had to give up all my old engineering drinking buddies. All my old friends. They said, what happened to you? What's wrong with you? My roommate was upset. He said, I can't believe it. What's the matter with you? And I told him. And he didn't quite believe that, but the Lord had done a wonderful work in my life. And Zacchaeus went out on the limb. Sometimes you got to go out on the limb. Got to take a chance. You got to risk something. You got to be willing to lose something.
Right.
Maybe some friends, your family may not be so excited about what you've gotten at the first. They may not come into the church all at once, but you've got to be willing to take the chance. Would you do the same? Would you take a risk? Would you go out on the limb? Zacchaeus, and as Jesus passed by, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, knew who he was.
Right.
I have a feeling the Lord knows where we are.
Amen.
And knows what direction you're moving in. And knows how much of him you really want. How much time do you spend with him, and how comfortable do you feel in him?
Amen.
I find some of the greatest moments, the thing I've learned just recently is prayer, just sitting in the presence of the Lord, he said, where else can you get this?
Amen.
Where else can you feel like this?
Amen.
I said, Lord, I don't know, except in church doing more of it. I don't feel this way at work.
Amen.
Don't feel this way around the bubble. Don't feel this way in the cafeteria. There's some special times we have with him. John and Andrew said this. They wanted to see him. They said, where are you staying? Matthew said, can you spend the evening with me? Simeon said, please, can I stay alive till I see him? Just let me live until I see him. Magi said, hey, we're not stopping here. If they travel on camels, he said, saddle the camels. We're leaving. We're taking off. We're not going to stop till we find him.
Amen.
And 2 years later, they did. Praise God.
Amen.
Shepherd said, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see.
Amen.
When you see him, you will love him.
Amen.
When you really see him, I know you'll love him. You'll want to be with him.
Yes.
And when you spend time with him, you'll want to share him with others. He will be your best friend. Let me close tonight with one of my favorite scriptures. I like to close my eyes and think about what this must be like. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. I don't know. My mother-in-law, my brother-in-law, Jack, others that have gone, Brother Kilgore, Brother Becton, some of these great patriarchs we've just lost. I don't know what kind of body they're in tonight. I don't know.
I don't know what heaven is like. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed these things to us by the Spirit. And so I have a touch of heaven inside of me tonight. You have eternal life within you tonight. That's a wonderful thought. Amen. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. When he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will see him as he is. That, my friend, is going to be one of the most exciting moments of my life. One of the exciting moments of my existence when I can see him. Amen. I have called out to his name. I've called his name on the front lines of Vietnam. I've called his name in near-miss accidents. I've called his name in sickness and in health. I've called upon him for others. He has never, ever, ever failed me yet. Amen. And I want to see him one day. He is my best friend. He is my close companion. He is my Lord and my God, my Kyrios and my Christos, my soon coming King, my Redeemer, my Deliverer, my Savior. And I really want to see him. Let's stand tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Brother Moran, you want to take over? Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
Glory to God. Amen. I'm glad that God was watching us all those years when we didn't even know he existed. We didn't know what he was all about, what he could do for us, but he just kept leading us on. Amen. I remember sitting in place.